his new book, Raising Human Beings, Creating a Collaborative Partnership with Your Child, child psychologist and New York Times bestselling author Ross Green helps parents maintain the balance between helping kids figure out who they are, their skills, preferences, beliefs, values, personality, goals, and direction, and ensuring that kids benefit from their parents' experience, wisdom, and values. Again, the name of the book is Raising Human Beings. It is published by Scribner, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Ross Green to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
I appreciate you having me on.
What brought you to this particular subject and wanting to tell this story?
Well, I've been applying my model, now called Collaborative and Proactive Solutions, to behaviorally challenging kids for about 20 years now. And what became apparent at some point is that not so behaviorally challenging kids would benefit greatly from the exact same model, but also that I and a lot of other people are a little bit concerned about the species these days, the human species, that is. And what we're finding is that this model is not only helpful for behaviorally challenging kids, it's also helpful for teaching many of the skills that are on the more positive side of human nature. So it seemed like a good time to put it out there for parents of all kids.
When you think about what you are looking at here, how intuitive is this?
A lot of people tell me that this model is uncommon common sense.
Okay.
That being the case, it's actually not the way a lot of people parent. A lot of parents rely very heavily on carrots and sticks, rewards and punishments, power, unilateral solutions, telling a kid what to do. I say jump, you say how high. That's not what they're going to find in raising human beings. So while a lot of people think of this model as uncommon common sense, it is going to be a departure for many parents from the way they typically do things with their kids.
How so? So give us an example of that collaborative approach.
Well, maybe best to start with what it isn't. Let's say a kid is having trouble getting his homework done. In this model, we call that an unmet expectation or an unsolved problem. If a parent is being unilateral, or what I call plan A, the parent is deciding what the solution is to that problem. You are not going outside to play. You are grounded until your grade in that class comes up and the homework is done. That's power. That's imposition of adult will. That's unilateral, and that's also very common. When we're being collaborative, we're using three steps. The first step, called the empathy step, is where we're actually gathering information from the kid to find out what's getting in the way of him getting the homework done. Otherwise, we're likely to plunge forward with what I call uninformed solutions. We need info. We need to hear from the kid. The kid's voice needs to be heard. All of that takes place in the empathy step. In the next step, called the define adult concern step, this is where the adult is entering his or her concern into perspective on the same unsolved problem, what the parent's concerns are about how that unmet expectation is affecting the kid or other people. And then in the invitation, the third step, the two parties are putting their heads together and trying to come up with a solution that addresses the concerns of both parties. A solution that you cannot possibly come up with without knowing what those concerns are. Once we find out what the kid's concerns are, maybe the work is too hard. Maybe there's parts he doesn't understand. Maybe the writing part is too hard. Here's what happens. We find out why the unilateral imposed solution, you're grounded until your grade comes up, could not possibly have worked because it could not possibly have addressed what was really getting in the kid's way.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, because it's still ultimately the parent's responsibility to be the judge and jury, but with the child's input, you are suggesting that they will be more empathetic and understand the problem better to make a decision that makes more sense to both parties involved.
Yes. This model, in raising human beings, I'm saying you don't have to take the judge and jury part quite so seriously. If you're collaborating with your kid and partnering with your kid on solving the problems that affect your kid's life, those are things that judges and juries don't do very well in the first place. You're going to be a whole lot better off communicating better with your kid, having a better relationship with your kid. And here's the interesting thing. You're going to end up solving the problems that affect your kid's life in a way that is a whole lot more effective than when you were trying too hard to be judge and jury.
So if the child says, well, you know, I think the yes, this is too hard, and I don't want to do this anymore, then, but there still has to be the parenting, right? There still has to be the point where the parents say, yes, but this is why this is important.
Well, and part of what the kid says sounds very good to me. This part's hard. Here's why I'm having trouble with it. The next part, and I just don't want to do it anymore, is the solution. That is the byproduct of the fact that this problem has gone unsolved for so long. But if we just run with the first part, we don't want to do a solution yet.
Okay.
Just run with the first part. This part's too hard. First of all, that's something a parent would really want to know. That's something a parent would really want to help out with. The parent is then, so first of all, I would call that good parenting. The parent is then being a good parent by saying, well, here, as you were saying, here's how, if we don't solve this problem, if you don't get the homework done, here's how it's going to affect your life. You're going to fall further and further behind. Your grades aren't going to be that great. You're going to feel even less successful. Then comes the invitation. And by the way, I would call that good parenting too. Then comes the invitation. Let's think of how we can address your concern. See if we can find a way to help you with the parts that are hard, and also address my concern that we don't want you to keep falling further and further behind because the work's just going to keep getting harder for you. All of this is really good parenting so far, and if we can come up with a solution that addresses the concerns of both parties and actually solves that problem, I would say that that is exceptional parenting.
Is there a concern, and I can see some parents believing this, that at some point you have the inmates running the asylum?
Well, if the parent is putting their concern into consideration,
yes.
If the kid is working as a teammate with us to solve the problems that are affecting his or her life, and if we are coming up with solutions that not only address the kid's concerns but also address the adult's concerns, then I promise we are not coming anywhere near close to having the inmate run the asylum.
Okay.
See, that's the interesting thing, is that one of the misconceptions here, one of the things that parents sometimes get a little shook up about is they think if they listen to the kid's concerns, somehow they're selling themselves down the river, when in fact you just handed yourself a paddle, and you're now able to steer the ship even better just for having listened and just for having tried to make sure that the kid's concerns get addressed.
But are we ever selling short the parents' life skills, their experience in life, and having some idea, having been a kid themselves and going through this, that perhaps they have something to offer the child that the child had not thought of yet?
Oh, of course. The parent has experience and wisdom and values, and all of that is getting packed into that define adult concerns step. I find that kids stop listening to our experience, wisdom, and values when we try to ram it down their throats. But when we are collaborating with them and when we are trying to have influence rather than control, they actually have their ears wide open, or at least as open as they're going to be. So we are not taking anything away from parents in the experience, values, and wisdom department. We're just helping parents go about it in a completely different way and in a way that tends to be a whole lot more effective.
When you say effective, the title of the book is Raising Human Beings. So what are we raising now, and how do you see that in improving us raising human beings?
Well, I think that if we look at data that tell us that college students are significantly less empathic than they were 10 or 15 years ago, and significantly more narcissistic than they were 10 or 15 years ago. And if we look at people's general sense that we are feeling less safe and that we are being less empathic toward each other, then we need to look at how we parent our kids as the genesis of how we're treating each other. And if we are parenting through power, then we are raising human beings who are oriented toward power. But if instead we are using the currency of collaboration, if this is a partnership instead, if this has nothing to do with coercion and is all about teamwork, then I think we have good cause to be more optimistic about the kids who we are raising. Those skills that are such important parts of the human repertoire, empathy, taking another person's perspective, resolving disagreements in ways that do not involve conflict, those skills don't come naturally to us humans. They have to be taught and modeled and practiced. And when you're solving problems in the way that's described in Raising Human Beings, you are teaching it, modeling it, and practicing it every day.
That everyday part, when it comes to the collaborative partnership, that begins from day one of the child's life?
It begins the minute that kid pops out as parents are trying to figure out what the kid is trying to communicate and trying to be responsive to it. As kids develop, we can add words to the mix, which makes the whole means of communicating with them that much easier. Regrettably, a lot of parents don't have any trouble being responsive to infants. It's when the kid gets a little older that they start pulling that power stuff out of the hat. That's a shame, because power is not the currency that serves us well. Collaboration is.
Dr. Ross Green is the author of the new book, Raising Human Beings, Creating a Collaborative Partnership with Your Child. The book is published by Scribner. Dr. Green, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
I really appreciate you having me on.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Raising Human Beings, Creating a Collaborative Partnership with Your Child. The book is published by Scribner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.